And it's time now for Stroman on Sports. We're joined on the phone by Dr. Debbie Stroman, the host of If You Only Knew, right here on 97.9 The Hill. Star athlete, coach, commentator, analyst, and expert on all things sports on the field and off. And we've got a lot to talk about this week because a lot has happened in the sports world. Dr. Stroman, Debbie, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Thank you, Aaron. I'm doing well considering the heaviness of this week. There is no doubt that America again has been hit by a 2x4. And even though when you know the history, when you know the pattern, I call it what, rinse and repeat, it still hurts. It still is alarming that with all that's been going over the past few years, we still have matters that require us to pray, require us to think about ways that we can be better, think about striking like the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing that we have to continue to do this.
And you've talked before, and we've had several great conversations in the past about the importance of raising your voice and using the power that you have to make a difference. And athletes, whether it's professional athletes or college athletes, do have a significant amount of power, at least in terms of the platform that they have to speak and be heard. And in some cases, if you get to the point of saying I'm not going to play and walking off, you can really, really get people's attention and grab people's attention in the way that they otherwise wouldn't. We had not seen any kind of walkout to this degree. We've heard talk about possibly something like this happening, whether it's at the NCAA tournament or during a playoff game or something like that. There had been talk about it, but at no point had there been walkouts until this week, when it started with the Milwaukee Bucks, and that was the tipping point in the athletic world, that so many other teams and really entire leagues almost immediately got on board. It was almost as if one player or one team said, I'm going to take that step. And then it was as if everyone else was just waiting for that first person to take the step. And then everyone else just went along with it. It was really significant to see.
That is so true. And I think it's a lesson for all of us, or I should say a reminder that it only takes one person, mm-hmm. one person with courage. Because invariably, there's usually people who feel the same way. You know, think about in the classroom when it just takes one student to raise their hand and say, I have a question. Mm-hmm. And then all the other students start nodding their head like, yes, me too. And I think that's what we have here. It also illustrates the importance of language. And so people are calling it a boycott, but it is a strike. It's called a wildcat strike, actually, when members of an organization decide to no longer work under the same confines their union has agreed to. And that's what happened. You know, I'm reminded of the Wilmington massacre. Mm-hmm. And yet we, in some circles, in some PR, you know, it's called the Wilmington race riot. No, that's not what it was. It was a massacre. And so we have to be careful during times like this when we're trying to create reality, as in defining terms and how this all plays out. You know, when you're close to it, you know, you're much more informed. And in a situation like this, the Bucks being in Milwaukee, in what, Kenosha, 40 miles south mm-hmm. of the city, or I should say north.
No, south, I think.
They were pressured. It's south.
Yeah,
south, yeah,
south, it's right by Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, that they were pressured from people back home mm-hmm. saying, what are you all going to do about it? And they decided to make this decision without talking to their opponent, Orlando, without talking to the heads of the National Basketball Players Association. They didn't talk to anybody. This was, and we have to remember this, this is a bunch of 22 to 28-year-old men, young men, who said, we've had enough. And I think that momentum, and again, it being the NBA, it just was the spark that was needed. So, I, you know, my first thought was, well, they've kind of dug themselves into a corner now, because there's nothing's going to change between now and today or Saturday. What would compel them to come back? you know, empty statements again, somebody else running around the NBA office with a Black Lives, you know, Matter shirt. Well, they had a really, really deep conversation, the NBA players, coaches, administrators, people from the association, as in their union, quote unquote. And what they felt is that if they all go back home, they're losing their platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because the media aren't necessarily going to follow all these guys around saying, oh, you're at the voting, you're, you know, protesting police brutality, or you're working towards, you know, voting empowerment. They're not going to get this platform that they have in Orlando in a bubble. So that's why the decision was made to let's resume games. Now, who knows what we're going to see? It could be a delay of a game for 10 minutes, and of course, which will wreak havoc all across the media world and sponsors. It could be, you know, I saw one person had posted that quite possibly if Milwaukee and LA make it to the finals, maybe they do the jump ball and then both teams walk off the court. There won't be a champion this year, right? So there's a lot of things that they could do creatively by staying in the bubble.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, one thing that I heard, and I don't have confirmation that this is actually the case, so maybe you've heard more on this and you can either confirm or say this isn't actually something that's happening, but that the players are, one of the things that the players are calling for is just the use of their respective arenas as mass polling sites for the upcoming November election, to at least get people to the polls in a safe kind of open space where a lot of people can vote. But I don't know if that's something that you've heard or can confirm.
Yes, I can confirm it. Mm-hmm. It was the heads of the NBA and the NBA Players Association. They were trying to figure out ways to advance. And again, they've been talking about this since they decided to go to the bubble, that it wasn't all about basketball. This was their way to bring more attention to social, racial justice. And so they decided that it makes sense for us to resume the games tomorrow on Saturday, but they have to have a social justice commission.
Mm-hmm.
They're opening up their arenas for voting locations and using the civic engagement through advertising space. Now, what I find interesting is, you know, it's not supposed to be blue, it's not supposed to be red, but very clearly, if you haven't lived in a cave, right, you know that when you increase the number of voters, that people tend to vote Democratic. And so clearly you can see that even though, and not all of them, but many of them are multimillionaires, that they say that being with the Democratic Party makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just can't imagine that anybody who is supporting the Republican Party and disagrees with any of this, why that person or persons has not spoken up. So they're all for one, one for all, and they want to bring more attention to voter suppression and using the NBA to do such. Now, this isn't new in the sense that four NBA teams, the Pacers, the Clippers, the Bucks, and Washington Wizards, had actually signed on to an agreement similar to this in August, where they're using their arenas as super center polling locations, mm-hmm. where anybody in the jurisdiction can vote. Anybody can go there, even if it isn't their usual polling place.
Speaking again with Dr. Debbie Stroman, we've been talking about this on the professional level. How about the college level? Because college athletes are also in a very unique position this fall, first of all, compared to any other non-pandemic year. But it's also a very different set of circumstances and challenges and opportunities and possibilities, and your platform's a little bit different when you're in college versus when you're a professional. So what are you seeing and what do you want to be seeing among college athletes?
Well, there's no doubt about it that when you see it, you can be it. And over these past few years, we've had more college athletes challenge the system. As in the NCAA governing body, we've seen more athletes challenge what their coaches are doing or not doing. Case in point, the Oklahoma State, the star running back,
mm-hmm.
Telling his coach that he was, you know, just completely out of line. We've seen number of college teams like UConn women's basketball step up as a team and go against racism. And so I think with this happening with the pros, there's no doubt the athletes are talking. There is an association right now for college athletes to fight against what is considered exploitative policies. And so they're talking now. What's going to happen? It's really, really challenging because you got COVID-19 going on. They don't even know if they're going to have a platform. You know, right now, nobody really knows what's going on with field hockey or soccer or even football for that matter. All we have are reports that they're practicing or sports have been canceled, but nobody knows what's really going on. They're home, you know, doing their thing, taking their classes. So if there's a chance of anything, it will be football. But right now the priority is health and safety. So I'm not sure if they can galvanize enough people to show up for any type of press event. Now, we can't not pay attention to what's going over at Duke. Coach K is just a very, very big leader in this space. Basically gave approval to Nolan, his assistant coach, to make something happen. And so Nolan is respected not only at Duke but around the country for his advocacy for racial justice. And he was able to convene not his team. I mean, he convened his team, but he also got football there and women's basketball and some other folks. And they had a major, major press conference and announcement and full support. So that was a wonderful thing to see. But I'm not sure about the other universities within the ACC or even our very own Tar Heels.
I was just about to bring up Duke University and that press conference and Coach K. We're speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, and we've got to wrap up, so I'll wrap up with this. Coach K, I was listening to his speech, and we got a shout out to Coach K, who's very notably been a pretty conservative Republican for his entire career at Duke and is now very vocal in support of the Black Lives Matter movement and consistent and has been throughout this entire summer and certainly this week as well. But one of the things that he said in his speech, and this gets back to what you said just a couple of minutes ago about the players kind of being in a tough space, because nothing's going to happen this week that's going to eliminate the problem. Like, whatever is done this week, the larger issue of systemic racism is still going to be there. It's still going to need to be addressed next week and the week after and the year after, regardless of what we do right now. But something's got to be done right now. And Coach K, in his speech at that press conference the other day, said the same thing. Like, it's one thing, and it's a great thing to stand up and raise your voices and be heard and to listen to other people. Now step two is come up with action items that are not going to solve the problem, but are going to move the dial in a real and tangible and meaningful way. So what do you think those action items ought to be? What's step one? What's step two? What's step three right now?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that, you know, people can go ahead and call Coach K a hypocrite. They can say that disingenuous or now you're flip-flopping. But my philosophy in all of this is that the train has moved down the track.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great if you got on when the doors first open, right? Stop number one. The point is just get on the train, whether that's 5 stops later, 20 stops later, or 50 stops stop later.
Yep.
It's never too late to be for humanity. And so I'm not going to bash Coach K around this. I'm glad that he's evolved just like a number of other people in this space, whether you're white, brown, or black. But in terms of steps, the first thing that Colin Kaepernick called out and hashtag Black Lives Matters is police brutality. And so there are a number of things can happen in that space. To go to 8toabolition.org. The number 8toabolition.org, and study it, understand it. Does it make sense for you? Should you support it? But I think that gives you a clear understanding in terms of how the people who are really, really adamant that something is wrong with our policing, and here are some things to consider. I would say the other thing is bringing charges, as in understanding who your DA is, your district attorney. Different names all across the country, but generally district attorney. These folks have so much power. They're the ones who decide who gets charged. And do they walk hand in hand with the police force? Absolutely. And in some ways, they should. But on the other side, they're supposed to represent the people. And so the case there is Breonna Taylor. You know, why haven't these police officers been charged? We're not even saying they're guilty, but just charge them. I mean, this rule, this law that in some communities you can just barge into somebody's place, or is what happened in Louisville, they just shot up the place. a no-knock rule. So things like that, police brutality, and then the other piece is voting. We know the voting suppression is alive and well. Everything from a modern-day poll tax, you know, to the gerrymandering, to the whole post office situation. And so we need people to be engaged around this. You know, these are matters that are not red and blue. You don't want your police harming you. They're supposed to protect and serve. We want people to vote, right? So these are things that that should turn hearts and minds towards a better way, if we really want America to be that place where we have freedom.
Listen to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Kill Weekends. Get the full archive on our website, chapelboro.com. We'll leave it there. Dr. Debbie Strowman, as always, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.